Welcome to the Hour of Truth, a topical radio Bible show broadcast by the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Well, good afternoon, good morning, everybody. It is another Hour of Truth. And I have Philip Walthall here on my right, Brad Kepps on my right. I am Paul Muller, and James Eastler is
waiting on the bus all day.
Is otherwise busy. So
working on the
welcome.
Bus. Yeah, welcome. It's good to be here, and fine afternoon to all y'all out there.
Well, good evening, everybody. We one of the things that I heard today was just a little bit of Rick's thing, but not fully. And I don't want to get it out of context. Paul, did you hear some of that Rick was talking about? I know he was in John 15:1, where he talks about without me, you can do nothing. It was one of the things that he was hitting on.
Yeah, I got portions of it. But, one of the things he pointed out was that the converse of that is true as well. It's with Jesus, all things are possible. And that is our hope. That his work is complete, and his work is adequate, and his work is finished. It's not about us.
Amen. That's exactly right. And that was one of the things that, I kind of heard him say. He's like, when he was talking about one of the things that he mentioned in that was, he goes, coming into that one phrase he said, he goes, that had nothing to do with me. It was all what Jesus did.
Yeah.
And one of the things of accomplishing, I guess, one of the things that was in front of him. But it is all about what the Lord is able to do. And see, that's something we can rest in. I know after service, we were talking, Angie and I were talking a little bit about, his faith that he put in us, that seed, his faith that he put in us, and the way that we...
That's encouraging.
It is. And one of the ways that we receive those is one of the things that I highlighted to her, is one of the ways that we received those faith is by submitting unto him. See, when we bring, we submit unto him in his ways, 100%, we receive that faith that he's given to us. Okay, and then how do we submit unto him, guys?
Well, in John 15:5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
Right.
So how does that abiding work?
Right. Well, I'm asking you.
Yeah, that's...
All right? What are one of the ways that you submit unto him?
Well, he's the vine, we're the branches, so maybe I'm a little branch, and part of the way I abide in that vine is I listen to what I'm taught and instructed.
Right, but we can also go to John, okay? Well, remember when Jesus was praying for his disciples to the Father, and we're in John where he talks about, maybe you can pull it up in John where he talks about, and them that what believe on me through what?
Through their
word.
Their word. Yeah.
Okay, so it's by that line of authority you submit unto that line of authority. It's you actually submitting to Christ.
And the way that works is he's got a line and a way this works. And it's really not preached much in my experience, but Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, that's well accepted. But part of the foundation of his church is the apostles and the prophets.
Right, and that and believe on them. And so by submitting unto him, you receive that faith that is freely given. And that's one of the ways, that's one of the ways you receive that faith. And you just simply agree with them. And one of the things where, you know, Paul, you're talking about, it also works without me, you can do nothing. But he was in tying what, and all thing I can do all things what through Christ,
through Christ.
That strengthens me. And one of the things that, in going out in presumption, and I talked about that a little bit today, where David, what, he inquired of the Lord and then went and moved. And one of the things about presumption is when we go out in presumption, see, we go out in, a lot of times we go out in our own strength and our own, with our own
and in,
mind.
In pursuit of a right thing, we think.
We think.
That's yeah.
Where, that's where the carnal mind is that enmity with God. I mean, sometimes we align ourselves up with that carnal mind, which is opposite of what the Lord would have. And one of the things is that we, but in presumption, we go out in our own strength. See, but when we go, but when David went out, he went out in the Lord's strength. And see, we have that at hand. And see, and when we can operate in Him, okay, and abiding in Him, as you were reading there, that's one of the ways that we abide in Him going forward, is, you know, submitting unto Him in those things. But that's where none of us can, that can stop us at nothing. And it doesn't matter what our weaknesses are, what our strengths are, what our
maybe your past,
your past, or your I've been trying to find this word all day. I don't know what the
I don't know.
Yeah. But anyways, our shortcomings are, that's the thing. It doesn't matter of all those things, because see, we're not operating in our strength and our ability, but His. And He's well able. That faith, Jesus's faith, is well able to accomplish His will through you.
Yeah, David comes back in the odd name of a town, Ziklag. So he comes back to Ziklag, and all the ladies are gone, the kids are gone. And at that point, I would have to think he understood that he was King David. This is the guy that had, you know, killed Goliath. He had many, many examples in his background that the Lord's hand was on him. But if in the right in the front of that passage that you began with this morning, he knew he had a priest, a Levitical priest. So that was his jumping off point. He went, okay. So he grabs a priest who brought the
ephod,
which I think was sort of like a dye, or there was some kind of way they would inquire of the Lord. But he, even though he understood at that point that he was in fact King David,
he wasn't even king yet at that point.
But he didn't rest in the past victories the Lord had given him. He dropped back and sought God through a Levite, right?
Well, yeah, and one of the things is and the big thing to me in that whole thing in that instance is that he inquired of the Lord, and when he encouraged himself, he knew that the Lord was well able, and he, when he went forward, he sought direction of the Lord.
Exactly.
Not going about in presumption, going and doing something, but he sought direction out of the Lord before he went forward. And it's interesting, you said, no matter what his past victories were, because that's a cool point that you brought up, and I'm kind of glad, because it doesn't matter where he was at yesterday, the day before, but one thing he could take from those experiences, that the Lord was well able.
Yeah,
And there's a confidence in the Lord, but he did not want to go forward yet without the Lord showing him what direction to take.
Yeah, and you beat me to the punch, because that's right. He understood the... I don't think he had any doubt, like I might have doubt, that the Lord was going to intervene and make this thing work out, however. But he had enough of an understanding of the Lord's way, you know, show me thy ways, teach me thy paths. He understood the Lord's way enough to say, you know, I do have a priest here in the group. So, therefore, I should drop back and inquire of the Lord directly. And he did. And, of course, we see the outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen, absolutely. And one of the things is, before that, and you're talking about the Lord intervening. It was an interesting thing, because when he was set over guardians, the chapter before that, when he was set over as guardians, and he was to be made guardians, the captain of the guardians, I forget the phrase that was used, to protect King Achish during when he was about to go. And it was actually a blessing. And this is an interesting thing that we don't But see, this is where we can trust the Lord in all things. It was actually a blessing that the other princes stood up and said, no, you know, don't. He's not to go. This is the guy that killed the Philistines. It was actually a blessing because where did he go back? He went back to Ziklag, which something already happened. And it was like the Lord already set it out. It was a blessing. The Lord already set it out for David to go retrieve that which the enemy came to steal away from David and his men. The Lord's, I mean, it was an amazing thing to me. I mean, it's amazing. And see, that's where we can trust the Lord in all things.
You know what strikes me as odd in that? David and his men, these guys are Israelites, and they're in the land of the Philistines, right? And the position that David and his men held would be, for us, it would be the U.S. Secret Service guarding the President of the United States. I mean, it's kind of weird.
For the other side, the enemy of Israel, in fact, at that.
So here's a guy, in effect, he's the head of the U.S. Secret Service. And they stand up and say, you know, we can trust him to guard the king. You know, we can trust him to guard, you know, President Barack Obama. Yeah, but as far as having him in combat with us, I don't know. I got a little hitch here.
Well, that's where you protect the king is in that combat. And they're like, no. Lest he turn, is what he said, lest he turn and try to make good with his master again, which was
there's something else. I love that story, you know, and I've just read through about your stopping point on down. And when they hit the Brook Bashan, out of 600 men, there were 200 of them that said they were so weary they couldn't move forward with the rest of the...
Someone stop you right there.
Sure.
It says, those guys were not like the Secret Service, Brother Steve.
Okay, Lord help said, me out.
And
help
the
me
Lord
out.
Answered him. That was beforehand. to inquire of the priest who had the ephod. So that you see submitting unto his way there. And I didn't see these chastisements.
Oh, and Steve said they weren't like the Secret Service. There were people who were rejected of Israel.
Right. Yeah, see. So he's highlighting that they were not this hierarchy of like, oh, these are the Secret Service. No, these were guys that were rejected of Israel. And they really were. I mean, when David picked up those men, just to kind of highlight on that point that Steve's putting out there. When David picked up those men, I mean, these were all men that were in debt. These were all the men that were cast out. These were all men
they
that were like
disaffected in some way,
members of society, like, you know, the menaces to society. I mean, they did not. I mean, these were the guys that were really rejected. That's who was traveling with them.
People I have a hard time with. I mean, guys that have short hair and wear ties.
I mean, they were the base guys to highlight that point. And look, I mean, it's amazing when they traveled with David, they became blessed.
All right, so I'm just going to read through Steve's string here.
Go ahead.
All right, so my statement was these guys were like the Secret Service, which was incorrect. And Steve says those guys were not like the Secret Service. They were people who were rejected of Israel. Official Israel was not trying to protect David. They were trying to kill him. Yeah, David was at that point, he was way, way on the outs with the nation of Israel and the hierarchy that governed that nation.
Right, yeah. See, who
thanks,
was not,
Steve.
Yeah, I mean, he was not... in Israel, I mean, he was actually cast out. I mean, Saul really cast him out and went beyond casting him out. But and he didn't really cast out.
Kill
he
it.
Ran for his life, I mean, is what David did in that sense. Ephod is like an apron with 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel worn by the priests.
And this was a mechanism that the priest used in order to inquire the Lord whether they should go after these guys that wiped out Ziklag. Thank you, Pilgrim.
But, you know, praise the Lord. And that's, I mean, but praise the Lord. I mean, that's, I mean, but you see where you can trust God in the midst of, all, I mean, all those things. I mean, that whole thing where, I mean, David's like, why, you know? And he goes, look, David, you're good to me, you know, and I know that you have no ill intent, evil intent, but these other princes of the Philistines, they ain't going to let you come. They ain't going to let you come. And that was actually a good thing because the Amalekites were taking his wives and children, burning his land down, and it was actually a good thing. But
praise God. It was cool. I read on the back end of the passage that you were reading out of this morning, and it said that they got back, and there were a couple hundred of these fellows that had been too weary to pursue in the combat that was to follow, and they stayed at Bashan. And when David got back, these 200 were given a like amount of the spoil as the 400 that actually fought in combat. And it's, that became a statute or an ordinance in Israel from that time forward. And it dawned on me, you know, there's a phrase, they also serve who only stand and wait. And if you look in the in Western thought now, how much of these things come from the biblical experience that's recorded, because we treat our various service members the same, whether they are in combat or out. I guess the one exception would be there is combat pay. So they do get something of a bonus for being in combat. But as far as on the back end, the benefits that follow are pretty well even up just because you serve. And that came out of this incident at Ziklag, and we still see it now all these thousands of years later.
What was interesting was it was like in that scripture he said, and Ziklag was a part of Judah till this day, was one of the things saying that was the land that was given to David by the king of Kish. But one of the things that I like, that is one of the things you're talking about in ordinance or whatever the case may be, but is the reminder of what the Lord was able to do in the midst of so many situations. I mean, just like they had back when they were, you know, when they had the Passover, those were a remembrance
right.
of what the Lord did for them and how they were delivered. And you go back and they had this too, reminded to tell your children and your grandchildren the goodness and the mercy of the Lord and how, why you are free is because of the grace of God and
oh, yeah.
what he was able to do and deliver you. And it's one of those things where, you know, where I read where the Lord, where David encouraged himself in the Lord and he went and sought the Lord, was that, man, what the Lord was able to do and what he has able done in our lives is something we need not to forget. And we can so easily let that slip. Remember, I mean, how the children of Israel, and you go back to where they had the power that was presented to them in the land of Egypt while they're in bondage, and how they were delivered out of the land of Egypt,
right.
and how the Red Sea closed in on all those, all the Egyptians that were trying, that kept them enslaved for so many years, and they were delivered, but yet they still fell in unbelief. Okay, they still fell in unbelief, and it's so easily that we can slip into that unbelief and forget in the midst of a situation, in the midst of some things. We're just looking at the situation and how easily we forget what the Lord has brought us through.
Right, and what, they would erect monuments, too. You know, they would put piles of stones where these things happened so the future generations would know. I kind of interrupted you.
No, that's fine.
But we're talking about one of the things I was speaking of this morning is holding ourselves up as a body, as a group. And recently, you know, we saw the Lord definitely come through for Linda after the flood. And so I would suppose if I hit one of those points you described where I fail to look back and see what the Lord did and I begin to allow myself to fall in unbelief, you know, somebody like that, like Linda, might come up and say, you know what, I just went through this in the last year or whatever, and I've seen the Lord come through for me. Not that I was so right on or anything. Now, maybe she was, I don't know. But she would be the one that would probably come to me and say.
And what it boils down is what the Lord's able to do. And that's the highlight, what the Lord is able to do, what he has accomplished. And what he's able to accomplish, I mean, that's what we trust and we rely on in the faith that he has given us to even believe him for it.
And to encourage each other on our points of weakness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's where you have exhortation. Provoking one another to what? Love and good works.
Yeah, exhortation. That's what I get from Paul over here.
But it's easy to slip into that unbelief. What is it? What does Hebrews say? The sin that what so easily besets
us. Easily.
The unbelief that so easily besets us. Is I'm taking that word using unbelief because that's what sin is.
Oh, yeah.
And the Lord is bigger and he's well able. And we need not to forget that he is well able. In the midst of it, to just, once again, what does Colossians say? Or read in the morning. Set your affection on things which are above, not on things on the earth. And one of the things that what Linda went to, yes, she had her struggles, she had her ups and downs. It doesn't matter. One thing that mattered was the Lord got glorified, and the Lord got that which she was not able to accomplish, what we were not able to accomplish through our own strength, but He was able to accomplish. And one thing gets magnified is Him.
And not
now,
only for
we
her.
We can rely on that. We can rely on that. And she has a testimony that she can have a confidence in what the Lord is able to do. And it's a confidence and a sign not just to her, but for those that are around. Just like you were
exactly
saying.
Exactly right.
You were having
yes.
that stoop, like a stoop down low place, or whatever the case may be, that that's a testimony of what the Lord is able to do. And it's not limited. That God's not a respecter of persons, you see. God's not a respecter of persons. It's not limited to.
Yeah, if He'll do it for me, He'll do it for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're not special. Okay, I mean, that's He chooses what? The base things to what? Confound the wise.
And even you look at the predestinated, who the apostles and all, they've got, that decision was already made prior. But if we choose to exercise a like faith, the same blessings that fall on them are available to us. And like with Elijah, Elijah, as I understand it, was not even an Israelite. He's a Tishbite.
Absolutely. Well, he was not elect of God. He became the elect of God. And I know that David kind of preached on this last Sunday a bit, and it was a good sermon. But it's for us to partake of. See, these all things.
Yeah, it's all right there for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's important to shed ourselves from that unbelief that so easily, the sin that so easily besets us, because I can see, I remember having a conversation with somebody, and they said, I don't see how this person does not believe after they've seen this happen and they witnessed this thing go down and all these things. I can't, I don't see how they cannot turn unto the Lord after seeing that. And I just remember my response was, I do. Because I remember going through the heat of the... Right, absolutely. I remember going through the heats of the moments, and all I could see is the situation, and my perspective is wrong, and going through the heat of this situation, and all I could see is the situation. Not even giving it a thought of what the Lord's delivered me through some of all those other things that happened. All those upside situations... upside down situations that he turned right side up and flipped it on the enemy's head, and he got glorified in the midst of it. But all I see is that situation at the time of things. I can see how easily it is. But to step back and gain that perspective that, you know what, he is well able, and he has given me his faith, and he has finished the work, as Paul, you were talking about, Brother Rick talking about, he has finished the work. See, because he's victorious. He's already won. And if we be in him, we are victorious.
My boss was talking to me last week. We had a quality containment. This is what you want to avoid more than anything at work, containments. And I did some things right, and I did some things that were not as well done as they should have been. So he was talking to me on the back end of it, not by way of boxing my ears, but, okay, going forward, this is what we should do. And one of the things he said was, there's this kind of it's stress-induced lack of sound reasoning, which, I mean, that's what I was thinking when you were talking about, failing to believe. So you're under a high stress point. Things aren't going right. And he said, what you do is, maybe you go in the office or something, just get away from it for a moment. I mean, you're carrying it with you, but you're out of the noise, which where I work is physical noise. But you separate yourself from the noise, sit down, maybe write it down, what's going on, and just back up and start thinking about it. And you'll find that maybe your thinking clears. So when we get into those things where, it's all breaking loose around us, that's the point. Maybe we need to stop. Step back, pray, maybe call somebody, sit down with somebody else and bounce it around. And that's part of the advantage, with Linda's house going back together, which going back to that, But she'd be a good one, you know, for a while. She'd be a good one for me to contact if I got into something like that. Because there's somebody that will say, yep, I was just in the thick of it. And look, the Lord did this for me. And there's really no reason to think he wouldn't do it for you.
One of the things to remember, I mean, because I know in my at my workplace, I don't have a time to step back.
Yeah, right.
I really don't.
I've been in your work. Yeah, I get it.
I mean, I don't have a time to step back.
Well, what do you do?
I mean, in the midst, I mean, I let me put it this way. I don't have it, but I can choose in the midst of it to believe and trust him in the midst of it. But, I mean, I get under stress and things flying off.
More work than time, sure.
And these kinds of things. There's been steps to keep that from happening. Praise God. The Lord showed me some ways. Some of that was going through some of those stressful times to step back and say, all right, Lord, what do I do? Okay, because I see where this is too much, and I'm getting overwhelmed, bogged down, and just simply talking with my authority and finding ways to better manage the situation at hand in some of those instances.
Yeah, and you make a change. They say that one of the definitions of insanity, doing the same thing this time and expecting a different result than last time. Just drop back. Are you doing this morning? Yeah. Yeah, I noticed you plowed out there. How much of that are you going to plant? About half. Good. Right? I have a long history of gardening failure.
And we're going to change that. I mean, praise God. And that's why
absolutely.
I'm intervening to look out for you in the midst of it and also the things around with others.
And very welcome on my end, just in case you're wondering.
But, I mean, praise God. But one of the things in the midst of that, and what the cool thing is, you know, when you turn and repent, because, you know, we were talking about, didn't really matter how Linda was in the sense of
how right or how wrong.
I mean, how ups and down. One thing that has happened was the Lord got glorified in the midst of it.
And she's seen
the hand of the Lord through it all. And all she can see is the remarkable amount of grace that was upon her in the midst of it.
Right.
He got glorified in the midst of it. And one of the things is when you go and you repent unto the Lord, right, when you truly repent, I mean, all those things wrong. So let's say I'm under stress, locked up in absolute unbelief. All I see is the situation in front of me. And just operating out of just pure unbelief and just fear. When I turn unto the Lord and I repent for the unbelief, right, in the midst of all those things. See, I can do it in the midst, right in the middle of all those things coming at me, blah, 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 blah. And I just turn to him. He remembers them no more, and I don't, and he does not care about all those things. And that's the thing, and neither do I. I remember Steve preaching that one time, and it's just like when Linda came out of this and the Lord got glorified. You know what? He didn't care if she had her ups and downs or any of those things. She turned to repentance. She turned unto the Lord in the midst of those
That's
things.
That's something Davey brought out a couple of weeks ago.
And the things that it didn't matter where you were at yesterday or the day
The previous
you
moment. Were, I mean, forgiveness
previous
happens
moment,
in a moment.
In the moment, absolutely. Doesn't matter. Okay? Doesn't matter. Once you put your eyes, you put your focus back on him and what he's able to do, you quit trying to do it in your own strength, because that's where most of our frustration and aggravation and things is, because we are trying to do it within ourselves. And that's why we see it when we look at ourselves in the midst of it and not on him. That's where we get into those places of what's happened. What it really comes down to,
short
how
circuits,
can I
everything.
Get through this? This is too much. Well, you can't. You're not able. In your own strength.
Right.
But you are well able in Christ Jesus that strengthens you. You are more than well able because he is well able. So you turn into him and abide in him. And then you what? Enter into what?
Rest.
His rest.
And that's what we're looking for.
Amen.
Absolutely. His rest in the middle of the flame. Amen.
Absolutely. And then that's where we could go forward. That's where we can carry on. And that's where we can just rest in his faith he put in us. not our own.
Which is another.
I mean, because this balanced on my faith, like, I still go, oh, crap, do you feel it?
Yeah, we falter.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was James, my brother, a couple years back. Phil, you're telling me you don't have the faith for this, this, and this. And I remember going, no, I don't. But the good thing about that, as we learned years later,
yeah, I know a guy.
It's not on our faith. Praise God. I mean, and that's a resting. I mean, that's a thing you can rest in.
Paul, you're sitting there looking all thoughtful, man.
I'm just trying to not drown.
You still got that going on. Yeah. Paul's not had the most pleasant of weeks, for those of you out there. But I think you've gotten some relief, as I understand. A little better than it had been.
Now, I don't know. I mean, what do you think of the services at hand and some of the things that we were talking about here, Paul?
Well.
What do you have to come?
It is necessary to be reminded over and over again, no matter what it feels like. Or doesn't feel like. Without him, you can do nothing. But with him, all things are possible. That means impossible things are possible.
Absolutely.
Because he is the creator. It is his foundational rules that are the rules. He set them up. So.
And what you see in his ministry time and time again, when you see people get healed from, people get healed, delivered, things that are impossible with man. Absolutely impossible with man, or not impossible with God. I mean, it just wasn't the case at all. And, you know, one of the things that highlight, I mean, in the midst of it, sometimes our struggle, I mean, sometimes we don't like the struggle, but it is our struggle.
No.
It is the struggle that we get our his faith strengthened in us. Okay. I mean, you say where David was encouraged of the Lord.
Tribulation works patience.
The Lord. Yeah, tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. It's not like running away from Saul was a fun thing.
No, it's what he had to do at that point.
I mean, it wasn't like, the bear coming to attack the sheep there was, oh, man, this is awesome.
I'm thinking he's like some 14, 15-year-old kid out there with a rock,
It's not like any of those things, but it's actually in those struggles that are, and the Lord allows tribulation to happen. And it's not the Lord causes tribulation. No, it's the enemy that
uses it,
kill, steal, and destroy. But he can use that tribulation to strengthen his faith in you. What happens. I mean,
Amen.
That wasn't a fun thing, the whole thing that happened with Linda and the flood and all those things. But he used that tribulation to strengthen his faith in Linda, that what he's able to do and accomplish.
Right, and next time, and there will be a next time, she'll know something a little better.
And I remember, I think it was Steve that was talking one sermon, and it was an interesting thing that she was actually still, I mean, it was Cheryl, and I say she, it was Cheryl that he goes, man, he doesn't, my brother Ricky, he just does not sing the same key as I do. And she would say, oh, frustrated. Oh, every time he does not sing the same key as I do, and it's
hard. I get
that. And it was frustrating for her, and she was a struggle for her and all these things. And what Davey say?
I don't know.
Davey turned around and told her, yeah, but that's what made you to be able to sing as good as you are able to sing now.
From having to push to do it.
Okay? It's that faith muscle being strengthened. Okay? And it's the same thing. I mean, you go and you got these sports guys. They work out. In fact, you see these superstars that are naturally gifted, and because they're naturally gifted, they get pride, high-minded. They're in college, and they can take on these guys, but they go to the NFLs. They get picked when they first draft pick and all these things, and what happens?
They're with a bunch of other superstars that are gifted.
Well, that too, but what happens is, see, they, man, they're in pride. They think, man, they got it. They got, you know, all these things, and they become lazy. They don't work out. They don't strengthen that base. They become worthless to the team, absolutely worthless to the team there, is what happens. And
you get fired.
Right. And then you also see these guys that aren't that great at all, that work very hard and nonstop at strengthening themselves and getting better and being focused. I mean, you got the Michael Jordan that his coach told him that he was not going to be.
He wasn't going to make it.
He wasn't going to make it. You got Tom Brady. I think he was a low draft pick guy. I mean, you got all these stories of these things. It just, to me, is an example. But, you know, what's amazing is that it's in those struggles and everything that we actually, you come out of it. It's not like it's a fun thing, but you come out of it with a confidence, not in your flesh, no, not having confidence in your strength, your own strength,
no,
but a confidence in the Lord.
I'm thinking like in the middle of this stuff.
I mean, you hear Paul where it says having no confidence in the flesh, no confidence. And he goes to the list of how he was, and he hadn't yet. At the end of it, he had what? No confidence in all that. He counted it all but what?
Dung.
All right? And all but dung. Nothing.
I was thinking
to the faith of Jesus Christ, which was freely given to him. What I mean is it doesn't cost. It was freely given. It's nothing he
That's
can
a
do
problem in itself, isn't it? Can be. The idea of something that good could be free and nothing you could do to hang on to it much or earn it or anything. You're just in the Lord's hand. Oh, I know where I was going. So you're talking about all the struggle, stress, and strife and normal affairs of life for most of us. Well, that could be kind of a stinky diaper at times. And yet we're called to walk through that stuff in peace. We are given a gift of being able to walk through that stuff in peace. And you're talking about David. I'm sure when David was out there, and this went off for some span of time with Saul, I'm sure he didn't like living in caves and like living with, oh, I don't know, maybe he liked the guys. It's not really stated, but it was really a hard road for a while.
I think he had a love. I mean, the Lord put a love in his heart for the people.
But to be able to walk through that stuff and not be all in a state of turmoil, I guess, I did pretty good. I was fixing to drift into a bunch of expletives, but yeah.
But what you also see in Psalms, too, what you also see in Psalms and where David wrote a lot of Psalms was, it was very human. I mean, the things that he came across was very, the struggles are
why
very
art thou cast down within me,
right,
oh my soul?
Us, you know, I mean, just like where, you know, Paul and Silas, we are men with like passions just as you. He is just that way.
And he had to tell himself, you know, remember the Lord, forget not all his benefits. No. That's true. He made a series of choices along the way not to be just beat down into the dirt, which is, I can't say I've always done that very well.
But it doesn't matter. This is where you're at now.
And yeah, today is today.
Yeah, and here's what's coming across. But yeah, what was it that I was thinking about? Oh, I was thinking about when Steve was talking about in Bible study how he went through and the disciples, he goes, where Jesus tells them essentially, you have no faith. And there he is. They forsook everything. They went with Jesus and the boat's overfilling water. Wakes up, he judges, they judge the Lord and says,
yeah, you're going to let us get killed.
And he goes, you have no faith. And he remembers going through a time and a period that was a struggle. It wasn't fun, where he goes, and Davey had to remind him, so what does the word say? Your grace is sufficient for me, because Steve was feeling like he was Judas at the time. I mean, as Judas at the time, and he goes, Steve, if you were a Judas, you could not even say that. And it was an uncomfortable time, but the fruit of the outcome of that was great. So was the struggle bad?
The path to the outcome was unpleasant.
Right. Was the struggle not fun and all? Was the struggle bad, I should say?
Yeah. The struggle itself?
Yeah. Was it to his harm?
Oh, no. No, it was a good thing.
Yeah, it strengthened.
It's just not something I'd want to do.
Right, absolutely. And it essentially, that's what Steve says. Not that I would want to go through this again. But that's where Paul, I mean, when you go to Romans 5, that's where Paul really could say, I glory in tribulations, because tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. David had hope. And you see the men of faith in Hebrews 11. They had hope. They had hope in the promise of God. They had hope in the promise of God. Not in presumption, but the hope. And they went off the promise of God.
Yeah, America's a really cool place. I mean, I look at, I mean, even in the modern day, you look at other cultures. And it's tough. America's kind of laid back, free, and easy. Poverty in America is better than most people had through time if they were doing well, you know. So I look at my struggles, you know. But it's the life I have.
And what's before you is opportunity. What before is all of us is opportunity to get on his plan and to be a part of his body. And that's an exciting thing. I mean, that's a very, very exciting thing. It really is.
I'm not really a man of great excitement, generally. But no, you're right. If you get in the boat, stay in the boat, and kind of watch what's going on around you, you'll find the points of encouragement. You see the sort of ebb and flow of the people that do well and maybe not as well, and all that, if you allow it to be as encouraging to
Absolutely.
Me.
And just the awestruck. I mean, one of the things when you come to realize more about yourself and just how much you're not. I mean, and I'm speaking of myself, how I really am, okay? How I really am, I'm just awestruck of the grace of God and how amazing his grace is.
And as you get a hold of that, you know, and I'm thinking back to Scotty Stevens. He came into the conference this last time around talking about the awesomeness of God and, you know, even our worship is somewhat directed to ourselves and we're so, I don't know, icky. But in getting a hold more of directing my worship to the Lord, directing my actions to the Lord, there's, I guess it's a self-abandonment where...
And well, one of the things that Scott was awestruck was the amount of grace that was extended to Scott through all that, because he came to the even realization that his service, so called to God, was nothing.
Yeah, and the Lord didn't turn his back.
It was all pride and vanity, and he was absolutely awestruck at the grace of God upon him. And that's the awestruck that I'm talking about, coming through the other side of a struggle, just being awestruck with the grace upon me in the midst
It's comforting.
And it's very comforting. Absolutely. And what can you say? Well, we're at
12:44.
What have we done?
Well,
what have we done?
I don't know. It's 12:44. I think Paul, do you have anything?
Not particularly.
Okay. Steve, do you have any? I mean, not Steve.
That's right. I could aspire to that. No, it's been a pretty cold morning, you know. And God, I've got like sunshine, clear skies, brothers and sisters out there, and shovels that. Thank God I'm not well able to use. Being crippled rocks, man. This is great.
Oh, I got all kinds of other things for you to work on.
Thank you for that, man.
I mean, just give you some opportunity to serve Christ. I mean, something you'd be excited about here.
And I know I should be. I love you guys. But it's been a great morning for me.
If you're waiting for the flesh to agree with it, it never will. So just put that old sucker down.
Yeah, but I'm down to 94%. We're on a roll here.
Thanks for joining us. I think we'll just wrap up early here, I suppose, Paul. Unless anybody, y'all guys got something.
Nope.
So may the Lord bless each and every one of us and all y'all out there. Have a great Sunday.
Yes, indeed. May the Lord bless y'all richly.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.